I asked them to come tonight, and my wife said she's got to go to school in the morning. I said, we'll get out as quick as I can get you out. And I do want to honor that. And I don't plan on keeping it at midnight. The Lord may, but I don't. But if you want to, you can be opening up your Bibles to the book of Psalms. I think it's Psalm 69. We'll see here. Psalm 68, I'm sorry. Open up your Bible to Psalms chapter 68. We'll read one verse right there. Then, verse 19. And we'll take that one verse and use that tonight to preach on the benefits of the marriage. I've been mentioned about preaching on the marriage. And it's been a blessing, really, to preach on the marriage. And a lot of people show a lot of interest. I've seen the interest on the internet. And I've seen the interest here. And a lot of people may not know this, but a lot of people was helped last Sunday night. I really were. Word got back to me. But Psalm 68, verse 19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And we want to use that verse tonight to preach on the benefits of the marriage because it is a daily benefit. And we'll go to God in prayer right now and ask His blessings. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to stand for the Word of God. The day and hour we're living in, Father, for many, Lord, have letting this Word slip. And without steadfastness, Father, they're not standing upon the precious precepts. But Lord, we tonight, Lord, here tonight, we're gathered for the Word of God. And Lord, John said he was on the Isle of Patmos. He said he was exiled for the testimony of Jesus and for the Word of God. And Lord, for the Word of God, dear Father, tonight we've assembled. We want to hear from heaven tonight. We've been singing about heaven. We've been, Lord, thinking about heaven. Lord, the songs have all, Lord, went together about a place where there's no unclouded day. Lord, a place, Lord, where we'll never long to be anywhere else. We'll finally be home. And I pray, dear Father, tonight You'd honor Your Word, bless Your Word, open Your words to us tonight. And let us leave tonight saying it's been good to be in God's house. And we'll thank You and praise You. In Jesus' blessed name we'll ask it. Amen. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. And let me say that the marriage is a daily benefit. Matter of fact, Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4 said the marriage is honorable in all. But let me say this, that marriage is work. My wife, she's here tonight. We've been married 38 years. And boy, she's been working on me. Amen. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse number 1, it says that the husbands will be won by the conversation of the wife. And most homes, most marriages, the women take the children to church and the men go deer hunting like the men being Brother Melvin seen this morning after the service this morning. That's typical for men. Matter of fact, word got back to me and about other men that done other things today. I won't be explicit. I'll try to be nice tonight. But for the most part, men have plans other than God in the home. And I still remember the day 24 years ago when my wife, and I don't know how in the world she put up with me, but she did. But I remember the day she come to me and she said, Eddie, she said, Sandra Ford got saved. I thought you might want to know that. And that had an effect on me. And the effect it had on me was I ended up getting saved. Sandra's husband, Barry Ford, my cousin, he ended up getting saved. But it all started because the conversation of my wife was that I might need to know that someone got saved. Now, that took a little bit of boldness because she just said that walked away because that was the best thing to do. I was pretty contentious, pretty confrontive. I looked for an opportunity to have a confrontation. But she just said that walked away, so I thought you might want to know that. It didn't go exactly as I thought. I went over there to make fun of my cousin about his wife getting saved and ended up being the second one in line. behind his wife the day she got baptized. But it all started because my wife come to her husband that was lost, that she had married and trying to make the best of it. And she come and spoke a word that was fitly spoken. And the Bible said that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. And she just said to her lost husband, "I stand before God got saved." That may not have a lot of weight to you, but to me it did. Amen. And you know, the conversation of the wives has a whole lot to do with the spiritual tone of the home. Amen. Those homes today are held together by women that love God, love their children, and have to put up with their husbands. But I tell you what, they don't give up. Or they get down and cry, and God sees their tears, they pray. But let me say that the marriage, it's a work. It's a work. You have to work in a marriage. If you don't work in a marriage, the weeds take up and they take the marriage over, and pretty soon you're back to back and ain't much going on. But me and my wife, we've been working on our marriage for 38 years. Matter of fact, we've got an anniversary coming up, December the 20th. And I'm honored tonight to have her with me here tonight. But the marriage is a daily benefit. It's a benefit to mankind, the marriage is. And I'll give you a good scripture on what I'm trying to say. If you wouldn't mind going there with me, or you can just listen to me, I'm going to read you the entire chapter of Proverbs chapter 5. It's 23 verses. God says here, "My son," He says, "attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood." Many men have learned this the hard way. My father being one of them, and I love my father, but he would amen this tonight. "And the end of it's not like you think. The beginning of it, it looks good. The Bible says there is pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. But the end of it's bitter, Brother Melvin." Amen. "It's bitter as wormwood. It's caused a lot of men to have a tragic end to life, because they would not listen to anyone's advice. They was a man's man and thought, 'I can handle it.' And you got a lot of self-made men and women today. But the Bible speaks about a strange woman that, she drops as a honeycomb to look at, and her mouth is smoother than oil. She knows what to say. She knows what to do. But the end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. It says her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell." I've seen a lot of homes turn into hell. I'll tell you why they did. Because men wouldn't heed instruction. They would not let God be God. And they tried to be God. And they tried to govern in the affairs of life. And I'll tell you what, their home ended up being a hell on earth. And it's a man-made hell. And I'll tell you right now, not too far from here, someone's in that mess that this Bible's talking about. Someone's living in a literal hell. We had some of that, didn't we, honey? I used to come home drunk, barking like a dog. And I remember my wife getting me by the collar and leading me up to the bedroom. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't pretty. And she loaded the kids up and leave. And I commended her for it. She done a good thing. And I'll tell you what, she wasn't wrong. She said, "I hope you die." You know, I'll tell you what, it wasn't pleasant. You got a husband coming home from work. He's drunk, throwing up, saying all kind of gibberish. You know how drunks are, and stupor and stuff. But somehow she persevered. She didn't give up. I couldn't have blamed her a bit. She left, never came back. But I'll tell you what, buddy, God will give her due reward. And I'll tell you what, she got the worst behind her, amen. But a lot of homes are nothing but a level hell, a living hell, literal hell. Verse 6 says, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." Men think they got it all figured out, but they don't really realize what's really going on. And God says, "Hear me now, therefore, ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. Come not nigh the door of her house. Lest thou..." Listen, men.
Amen.
"Lest thou give thine honor to strangers." Well, I'm sorry, I want to read the Word of God as it is. lest thou give thine honor to others. You know how you get a good name? You know how you become an honorable man in the community? Well, you have to work at it. You can't live a careless life and be known to be an honorable man. A good name is better than riches. It really is. But the Bible here says, because of this woman, He said, you'll give your honor to others. And He said, you'll give your ears, your years unto the cruel. In other words, buddy, old song says, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. And I tell you what, buddy, hey, you look at Samson, there he was down there grinding in the mill of Philistines, and they making fun of him, and this mighty champion boy, and he was a champion, but look at what sin done to him. Look at what Delilah done to him. Gave his years unto the cruel. Listen to verse 10. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. You know what happens in them divorce courts, don't you? They divide things up. I don't like this. I'm going to try to be nice tonight. But I don't like to see what a husband and wife have to meet in a public place and exchange children. We saw some of that, didn't we, honey? You have to meet in a public place, and the children, they go from one to the other, and they're looking back. Now, the children, they don't want it. They ain't got no choice in the matter. But that's what you do, but not just that. In the courtroom, they're divided up. I remember hearing about one guy took a chainsaw and cut the house in half. That's about how silly it is. Because someone wouldn't listen to the Word of God. And they gave their wealth to others. All that they worked for. My dad was one of them. And I love my dad tonight. I'd honor my dad any way I could. But if he was here tonight, he'd say, amen, son. Warn them. Tell them. Don't let them do like I did. But I'll tell you what. I've seen what I'm talking about here tonight. This is not strange to me. I saw it in my own family. I saw it in other men that I worked with. I saw them come to work. I heard them talk in the break room. And they always blame everybody but themselves, Molly. Yeah, everybody's against me. I don't know why everybody's against me. Well, they just need to read a little Bible. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Listen, when it all ends up, when you finally filled your days, and you look back and you say, what was I thinking? Why was I so foolish? You know, there's a fool, I guess, born every day. But I tell you what, buddy, it seems like it's more evident at the end than it is in the beginning. A lot of men have played a fool. Verse 12, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. It goes on in churches. There are preachers today who run off with piano players. I don't like hearing about it. But I don't hear about it. I don't keep it going on. And it goes on. Many mighty men have been brought down. Many houses have been broken. Many families have been uprooted. All about this subject right here. I'm going to take my time a little bit. I'm probably going to take about 30 minutes. Just bear with me. But this chapter here is one you're to mark in your Bible. Be good and give advice. This one here, he said, I was in the midst of the congregation, but my mind was on other things. And I was in the assembly, but I was thinking about other things. Verse 15 says, now this is God's advice. And to you men here tonight, I'm just like you. I'm a man of like passion, just like you are. I'm not Superman. I don't have an S underneath here. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. But the Bible, the advice of the Bible is drink waters out of thine own cistern. It says, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and the rivers of waters in the streets, let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. I don't know what it is about men, but at a certain age they want to trade in a 40 for 220s. Amen. Quit laughing, Molly. They get some, I don't know, some kind of age where they just lose it. I don't know, it ain't hit me yet. I'll tell you what, my wife's looking better as the age goes along. How she put up with me, I don't know. But she did. And I'll tell you what, buddy, that wasn't an easy thing. I don't know how you think about it, but I think about it as a modern day miracle. I look at me and I say, how in the world could anybody put up with me? There's a lot of time I get down and pray and I say, Lord, thank you for finding someone who could put up with me. She's here tonight and I thank God she is. But the Bible wants the marriage to be blessed. And it tells how it can be blessed. It says, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind and a pleasant will. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times. Be thou ravished always with her. But nowadays, all of this is under attack.
That's right.
And they've got ways now of getting into the home, getting into the heart. Man, I'm telling you, you make a wrong click now on the internet, buddy, and I've been embarrassed. It makes me mad. But the Bible says to rejoice with the wife of thy youth. It says to be satisfied with your wife. Some men, maybe some women do, I don't know. I'm picking on the men tonight. Maybe some women do when they're shopping. Maybe women look at me and I don't know, I can't relate to that. I'm a man. Maybe women look at men like men look at women. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. That's my wife. And the Bible tells me, it says, husbands, love your wife. Not somebody else's wife, my wife.
Amen.
Says, wives, love your husbands. Not somebody else's, says, love yours. You want to get the blessing of God? Do what God said. I'll tell you right now, the devil loves it. If a devil can get you to look, he'll get you to lust, and then he'll get you to thinking you can leave one for another. And I'll tell you what, you just read the end, it's bitter, it's wormwood. I'll tell you what, it'll eat you like a canker. But the Bible says, be satisfied with your wife. It says, why? Where thou, my son, be ravaged with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. We had Sunday school class this morning about Gehazi. And Elisha said, did not my eye go with you? I mean, I'm telling you, it's one thing for a prophet to say it, but God here is saying that your ways, my ways, and your wives are there before the eyes of the Lord. And He pondereth all of the goings, all of His goings. He says his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. You know what Delilah did with Samson? Does anybody know? She bound him, didn't she? She said, Samson, the Philistines be upon you, and he just broke them. And that worked pretty good for a while, Brother Hired. But then she pressed him. She pressed him sore, and she said, tell me the source of his strength. And he said, it's my hair. And the next time he fell asleep, she called him in. They cut that hair and then she bound him. She said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And he said, I'll arise as other times, but it wasn't possible this time. That's the way sin is. It lets you slip a couple times. I remember back when I was young, I used to skip school. And the first time I skipped school, it scared me to death. And I'd down there in that car and I didn't want nobody to see me. I'd like my granddaughter hiding. But boy, the next time I was a little bit more bold. About that fourth time, Brother Bob, I was just singing. How around my boon, yeah, there is no school today. I mean, we're just living it up, man. I never did ever get caught. All my friends did. I had enough sense to know when not to go an extra one, but they all. But you know, I seen how gradually I got more bold. And the first time I was ashamed, I was scared. But after a while, but I had no problem with it. That's the way sin is. He'll let you slip a couple times. Wrote my own excuse, Brother Melvin. Every bit of it a lie. Man, oh man. How in the world God put up me? How my wife put up me? I don't know. I just know, praise God, I ain't that away no more. Amen. But it says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with cords, with the cords of his sins, and he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. Two, the Bible says, and that warning right there, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it says that they two shall be one flesh. That's one thing about the benefit of the marriage, is you got to merge. You got more than one now. And I tell you what, I know we've got, like I said, self-made men, self-made women, but God wants a merge in the marriage, a union, a unity, yoked together in the heart. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, if you got a man and a wife and they are yoked together, man, that's pretty good. Matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter number 4, verse 9 through 12, it says, two are better than one. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. But I'll tell you what, it's got some other things in there too. It says, woe unto him. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. If they fall, one will help the other one up. But woe unto him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. And again, if two lie together, they have heat. My wife, she says, I run kind of hot-blooded and on them cold winter nights. I'll tell you what, buddy. She just gets up against me and smothers me out. But you know what? That's one thing about the blessing of the marriage. I do kind of run hot. I don't know. What about me? I can sweat standing still. But if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be alone, warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. I've seen wives fight for their husband. Their husband wasn't big enough to win in the fight. And the wife jump in there and bite her ear off. And you know, I'll tell you what, that's the beauty of the marriage. Two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And let me say this, and best I can here. You got a devoted benefit. He'll help her, she'll help him. And if they are and should be saved, that's one thing. We kind of started out with two left feet. She was a Christian and I wasn't. And we like never find nobody even to marry us, but we did. And you remember, honey, he said he'd marry us as long as we come back. What we do come one time, if we did that? He said, I'll marry y'all if y'all start coming to church here. And I think what we do, we went one time or something like that, didn't we? But I was lost. She was saved. And the Bible said that not to be unequally yoked together. We were. But if they're both saved, boy, that's an extra blessing. It's a double portion if you're both saved. Because you have the blessing of God upon that union. Most people, they don't do it God's way. They do it their way. But let me say, if they're both saved, the Lord will help them both. And, Psalms 46:1 says, God's our refuge and strength, the very present help in time of trouble. Hebrews 13:6, and we may boldly say the Lord is our helper. Psalms 121 verse 1 says, I'll look to the hills from which come my help. My help cometh from the Lord. But let me say this, there are some things in the marriage that the merge really brings out. There are some things my wife can do better than me. And there's a few things I can do better than her. I put a light up yesterday. She said, I've done good. She made brownies yesterday. And I eat them. I said, boy, them's good. Amen. Yeah, done good. And she don't like me to say this. One of the main reasons I married her, boy, I sat down at her table. I knew I was going to marry her. And I got the best deal all the way around. Amen. Hallelujah. They say to wait a man's heart through his stomach. I ain't going to deny that. But I'll tell you one thing, boy, my wife can cook. Hallelujah. We had that little old meal the other night, and they told my wife to bring some dessert, and she brought a 5-course dessert. And we ended up taking most of it back home. And I'll tell you one thing, buddy, as she cooks, amen. But there's some things, I'll admit it tonight, that you can do better than I can. I don't know how many times that I've marveled at how she's able to do things. She can understand things better than I can. I don't know, I just got a way of overacting or reacting too quick or something, I don't know. But there are some things I can do better than her. Listen, why fight it? Why not just enjoy it? Why not admit it? Enjoy the benefits of the marriage. I think most men are probably jealous because their wives can do some things they can't do. Maybe most wives are jealous because their husband can do some things they can't do. Listen, why fight it? Why not just enjoy it? Amen. Why not just swallow your pride and say, hallelujah! Amen! Look what I got! Amen! Forget about all those equal rights. Forget about all those all those what they try to do today, you know, They try to make women equal men and men lesser men and all that stuff right there. Why not just be what you're supposed to be?
Amen.
Somebody said, well, what are you supposed to be, Brother Eddie? Well, we got a Bible here. Let's see what the Bible says about what you're supposed to be. I'm going to read it. Maybe some of y'all can tell me where I'm reading from. I ain't even going to tell you. But here's what it says. Aged men, that they be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, and patience. Aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior, becometh holiness, not false accusers, nor given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed, and young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. That's Titus chapter 2. Why not just be what you're supposed to be? Okay, why do we have to cater to the bazaar? Why do we have to have Dr. Oz and Dr. Phil and all that? I don't know. I don't know why in the world they could even have a TV show. And what is it, what's that where all them women sit around? What do they call that? The View. Yeah, why have we got to have The View when we got the Bible? Amen? Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6, talk about God being the potter with the clay. And let me just say this tonight. He can give you a makeover. He gave me one. I'm not the man I used to be. My pastor sings a song, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. And I can sing it tonight. And I'll tell you right now, thanks to Calvary, I'm not the man I used to be. My wife's got a better husband. My children have a better father. We have a better home. I don't go through the house tearing stuff up now. I go through the house fixing things that are tore up. Amen. Amen. Jesus can give you a makeover. But the marriage, the benefits of the marriage, it's a daily benefit. The benefits of the marriage, it's a devoted benefit. One thing I count on my wife. I can. She's checked my blood pressure before. She's checked my sugar before, Margaret. She's checked my temperature. She's checked, see if my clothes stunk. You don't need to be wearing this. I don't know what it is about men. I pick it up. It smells all right. I put it on.
Good, smell it.
But she'll say, don't be wearing that. That thing's nasty. But you know what? That's the devotion of the marriage. She's devoted to her husband. And she got up this morning and fixed breakfast. What'd I do? I didn't eat a bit of it. I left it. We had a house full. I had this one and another, little one, and her and my son. And I stopped and got something on the way. I stopped his axe and got me a biscuit on the way. But she got up and fixed breakfast early this morning. She got this one here in the bath. Got her a bath. She got the oven in there and got them a bath. I just got me a bath. Hit the door. But I'll tell you what, now she's devoted to the home. And I'm devoted to her. And I'll tell you what, the beautiful and the benefits of the marriage is the devotion of the marriage is a devoted benefit. But also let me say that it's a desired benefit. Now this is a little bit rough. I know I've got my granddaughter with me here tonight. But let me just say this, that gay is not okay. I don't care who says what. It's not okay. And Leviticus chapter 18 verse 22 says it's abomination unto God. Leviticus 20 verse 13 says it's abomination unto God. It's not equal to the marriage. As a matter of fact, be honest with you, it shouldn't have never been. And the one who instituted the marriage, he said it was an abomination. That's Old Testament. New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 6. He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. For the very reason I'm talking about tonight. And he done it. He made them an example. And let me say that gay, okay, is a lie right straight out of hell. And he's sending many to hell. But let me say this. They get it straightened out when they get there. Amen. I know this going on there. But gay is not okay.
That's right.
Hey, and a preacher today will preach against it hardly at all. I don't write the article in the paper no more. The reason I don't is because I put an article in there about gay not being okay. And they didn't put it in there, and I'm not charging the church about that. That was their decision. I honor that. But I'll tell you right now, I think we need to do more of it, not less of it. And I know it would have brought reproach on them. They probably got letters and hate mail and everything else. And you know, I respect their decision, but in my part, I've got to have my own decision about it, and I got to say, it's not okay, and if it ever is okay, I ain't fit to be a preacher, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
I'll tell you one thing, buddy, it's not okay. And those that say it is, I'll tell you what, they're lying. And I'll tell you what, buddy, one day I'll prove I'm telling you what the truth. But they'll get it straightened out when they get down to hell. And I'll tell you what, they'll know they wasn't born that way. They'll know it's too late now. They'll know they believed a lie and were damned because of the very fact that God said it was an abomination. Let me say this. They will receive their just reward. Marriage, the Bible says, is honorable in all. It's something God said, He put His blessing on. It's something God said, it's honorable, it's undefiled, and it's a precious thing, the marriage is. No wonder the devil fights it so much. No wonder he tries to attack the marriage from every angle. No wonder, Anita this morning said somebody gave her husband, James, a book about the movie Fireproof. If you've ever watched the movie, it's a tremendous movie. And I've never read the book, but she said he started reading that book and it's had an effect on him, and it'll have an effect on anybody. Man, I'll tell you what, they've done a good job putting things where they need to be put. Put them in perspective and show what the problem is in the home. And that man had a problem. He had a problem with pornography. It was affecting his home. But marriage is honorable and all. And I'll tell you what, everybody can have the benefit of the marriage if they'll just do it God's way. The problem is we're trying to do it like Frank Sinatra, our way. We're trying to rewrite the books, or we're trying to teach a different thing in our schools. But you can't beat the marriage. And the benefits of the marriage is it's got God's blessing on it. And it's a daily benefit. It's a devoted benefit. And it's a desired benefit. And everyone ought to seek what God instituted when He presented that woman. You know, the one that done the very first marriage ceremony was God. He saw a lonely man, and he first, not good in the Bible. He said it's not good for a man to be alone. Now the same God says it's not good for a man to be alone, said it's abomination for mankind to lie down with mankind. So He done something about it, and He caused the very first a surgery to ever be made. He was the very first anesthesiologist. He caused a deep sleep to come up on Adam. If anybody's ever had any surgery, and I've not, you went and had to have anesthesiology put you to sleep. And while you're asleep, they opened up your flesh just like God did. And then God opened up the flesh of Adam and took out a rib, closed the flesh back up. And when Adam came to, God had made a woman out of that rib, and God presented that woman to that man, and that man saw that woman. He said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken out of a man." And that's the benefit of the marriage. God instituted it. God saw a lonely man, and He knew what a lonely man needed. He didn't need Steve. He didn't need Adam and Steve. He needed Adam and Eve. And He done something there. The Bible said in the beginning, He made them male and female. Anybody tells you any different, that's lying to you. And I'll tell you right now, they try to tell you that Jesus had a homosexual affair. They try to tell you that John was a homosexual because he leaned on the breast of Jesus. Listen, I lean on the breast of Jesus. I'm not a homosexual. I love the Lord. Yeah. I think everybody would get closer to Him. He heard the heartbeat of God. But I'll tell you what, this world has misconstrued everything. They've messed up people's minds. And there are men right now tonight. They're not home with their family. They're out doing something with their drinking buddies. They're out doing something with their hunting buddies, their fishing buddies. And my wife, if she would amen anything, sure would amen that. I never was ever home because I went the way of the world. But thanks to Calvary, I'm home a whole lot more now, ain't I, honey? I'm home a whole lot more. But I'll tell you what, Calvary's what men need. They need to go visit Calvary. They need to look in God's mirror. They need to see them. You know, I will say this. In the makeover that I had, my little boy, she come to me and told me about Sandra Ford getting saved. And I went over to Sandra Ford's house and got her husband outside and talked to him like a dog. He's scared to death of me. And I'd be scared to death of me too. I was on the drink. And I was mad because my wife had told me something I didn't want to hear. And I was trying to figure out some way to get around it. And there wasn't no way. But I bragged to my cousin Barry that night after I made fun of his wife how I was going to go fishing the next day. It was on Saturday night. And I said, "My wife and my kids are going to go to church tomorrow. And I'm going to go fishing." I said, "If you want to go with me, let me know. You can go." And I left. And I drove home drunk. Woke up next morning drunk. Why? She had to put up with that. I don't have no excuse. Other than the devil means sin. But then next morning, Sunday morning, as my family, and they were doing it, getting ready to go to church. They was already ready. My little boy, my wife said that our daughter also came with him. It could be true. I mean, I'm a drunk. How in the world could I remember it? But I do remember my son in specific. Came back here in my bedroom. He was drunk, gated there. And I was getting ready to go fishing. He came up to his daddy. And he said, "Daddy," and I looked at that little boy, about the size of this little girl up here. His little lip a quivering, tears running off his cheeks like leaking faucets. And I looked at that little boy and he said, "Daddy," he said, "will you please go to church with me today?" And for the first time in my life, at the age of 34 years old, Leah, I saw the real Eddie Wade. That's a shame. At the age of 34 years old, I finally saw myself in God's mirror, lost and undone. Man, in my mirror, I was a man's man. My mirror, boy, I stuck my chest out and dared anybody to mess with me. But boy, I have to admit, Brother Howard, I didn't see that coming. And man, he hit right where it hurt, boy. I remember I fell down to my knees right in front of this little boy. Choked on the words, bit my tongue. But I finally got it out there. Gail, I said, "Of course, Daddy, go to church, you." He went right down that hall. I don't know if my wife remembers or not. He said, "Mama, Mama, Daddy's going to church with me today." Amen. Man, this little boy running down the hall, me and the devil back there having, I mean, round three, boy. I mean, I'm telling you, boy, it was the awfulest battle you ever seen in your life. The yellow streak went up my back and widened my shoulders. Every man ought to have an experience like that. It shouldn't have to take that long to go to church with a family. But I went to church with my family that day, first time. We got in the parking lot over at Bethel Baptist Church. And boy, I tell you what, boy, it got bigger than me there. Man, the devil said, if you go in there, they're all going to look down their nose at you. They're going to say, who brought him in here? Who's he think he is? What's he doing here? I mean, I'm having a battle. I'm talking about, boy, a big battle. And I'm holding on that stand with my knuckles getting white. My wife got the kids out and they went on in. Finally, buddy, I went over there at Gail. I got a hold of that doorknob and I ain't kidding, it took everything I had to turn that handle. I turned that handle, opened that door, expecting the worst. There was a man of God in there, and he saw me, and I guess God showed him my perplexing or my predicament I was in. And he come running over, Brother Melvin. He said, "You get on in here. We're glad to have you." Man, it's just the opposite of what I've been told. And I went in there, buddy, and I mean, I ain't kidding you. I sat back on the back row, and that little old man, he wasn't big as nothing, got up there and preached like a wild man. Gaily, he plowed right down my row. I got mad. I mean, I got real mad. I thought, my wife's told him everything I've ever done. I'm killing her when we get home. And I'm going to whoop him. I'm going to hit him on the way out. Buddy, he didn't stop right there. He just kept on plowing. And finally, buddy, I'll tell you what, I wasn't worried about her or him. I was worried about me when it was all said and done. I wasn't enough of me left to get a hold of her in any way. Nor him neither. But I mean, I'm not kidding you. He wore me out. Everybody always says, every time I go over there, that's all he does is preach at me. Well, I'll tell you what, you get right with God and I'll let it change. I wasn't right with God. And the Bible said the word with God won't return void. It'll prosper the thing it's sent to do. It's sharp in a two-edged sword. It cuts down the bone and marrow. It's a discerner of thoughts, intents of the heart. I was guilty as charged. I need to get to Calvary. And the sooner the better.
Amen. Amen.
I tell you what, after I got saved, my wife done something real phenomenal. Our neighbors heard about me getting saved. Ain't this amazing? We got saved, and they come up and buy this revival. Man, me and my wife, we got all dressed up, and we went over there. Big Meadow Baptist Church, I believe it was. And we sat there, and the guy got up there, and he wasn't much of a preacher. And I thought, well, I'll help him out a little bit. And I, man, when I did, my neighbor slid all the way down to the end of the pew down there. Act like he didn't know me. I mean, everybody sitting there just like this right here. It was one of them, you don't even blink an eye. I mean, it looked like it's all tombstones sitting like this right here. And the guy preached, his name was Billy Davis. And I felt like he was struggling. I was used to hearing Brother Rick preach. And I thought, well, I'll do something. I said, amen. My neighbor stood all the way down there, him, Homer Reese and Elmer Reese. My wife, she said something real nice. She said, "Don't worry about them, honey." She said, "You all right?" Boy, I never was ever so proud of my wife. And I have to admit, she really, boy, that's the benefit of the marriage.
That's good.
Yeah. Brother Howard. Boy, she really encouraged me there. Because I felt like, you know, I felt like I'd done something wrong. She said, don't worry about that. You're all right. Praise the Lord. Boy, the benefit of the marriage. Man, oh man, oh man. Man, that made me, I tell you what, pretty proud. Hallelujah, brother. I wasn't expecting that. Matter of fact, I didn't even remember it until the Lord brought my memories just now. But I look back on years gone by. I see a lot of things me and my wife have weathered. She was there with me when I buried my mama. Matter of fact, she was there with me at the hospital when my mother drew her last breath. She was there with me when I buried my father. And you know what? I couldn't have made it, I don't believe, without her help.
Amen.
But she and I both had to go through deep water when her daughter got killed in that car wreck. They about killed us both. I still remember that speechless Monday morning. I looked over at my wife and we couldn't even talk. All we was doing was weeping. And I'm sitting there with a cup of coffee in my hand. I ain't even drinking it. I'm just sitting there weeping. I mean, we were just completely devastated. Our little 17-year-old girl lived 71 weeks. Little Cindy. I looked over at my wife and I said, honey, I said, have you thought of anything to put on a tombstone? And she said, yes, I have. And I said, well, that's okay. The Lord had really spoke to me that morning. I was pretty down. The Lord passed by and, boy, I hate to say it like this, but He just literally just slapped me. And He spoke a verse to me. You think this would be a real blessing? Shout the house off. But the Lord passed by me and He said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. That sounds like that'd be a blessing, don't it? But you know what He did with me when He told that verse to me? He was telling me to be a man. He was telling me, you ain't the only one that's ever buried a daughter. And you know, I was weeping, but I have to admit, boy, I mean, He made it kind of rough on me. He said, square back your shoulders, boy, and be a man. Let me say this about the home. We need to be men. We need to be men with shoulders our wife can weep on. Somebody's got to stand when it's hard to stand. And I'll tell you what the Bible said, that the wife is the weaker vessel. That's why men need to be men. That's why women need to be women. Man, the children, they need both aspects. They need the firmness of the father, but they also need the mercy of the mother. They need to have one they can run to, like my granddaughter run back there just now and get all kind of loving. But my granddaughter needs to also know that if need be, old pop get a hold of that hide. And I'll tell it like it is. Amen. But the benefit of the marriage is you've got the union of the husband and the wife. Also the benefit of marriage, and I wouldn't even mention this, but it's a benefit that you get children. The Bible said children are a heritage from the Lord. It says that the Lord, the fruit of the womb is His reward. And the benefit of the marriage is it's a fruitful thing. And God causes families to have children. And then if you live long enough, you have what I got tonight, great. You have grandchildren. And if you live even longer, you get what they call great-grandchildren. I don't know if I'll live long enough to have great-great-grandchildren. But I'll tell you what Job did. The Bible said he saw his children and his children's children. And I don't know how far he got, but I'll tell you what, he saw a lot. The benefit of the marriage is you got to help. If you fall down, if I was to break my hip right now, my wife would run up here and she'd say, are you all right? Y'all remember me telling you about having that episode up there at Bowling Green? My wife was there. Nobody else was, but she was there. That little nurse, she said, are you here by yourself? I said, no, my wife's with me. She said, do you think I ought to go get her? I said, yeah, you might ought to go get her. And they went and got my wife. She come there and she said, he ain't doing no good. Better call a doctor. Doctor comes in, he said, he ain't doing no good. Call the ambulance. The ambulance see me, said, he ain't doing no good. And they started hooking me up. But I will tell you one thing, and I'll shut up. I was about ready to kick a bucket. I done got close enough to the other side. At least I felt like I was getting close enough to the other side. I done got thinking about, praise God, I don't have to work no more. I ain't got to worry no more. Man, that little nurse beside me shaking like a leaf gale. And I told her, I said, have you ever seen a Christian die? And she couldn't even speak. I said, don't leave my bedside. I said, I want to show you what a difference Jesus makes. Man, I'm sitting there quoting Psalms 23. And I'm sitting there thinking, glory to God. I'm fixing to go home. My wife jumped up and went over and got my face and put a finger in my face. She said, you got a granddaughter having a birthday this Saturday and you need to be there. Yeah. And she'll remember I took that oxygen mask off. And they said, you can't do that. I said, you don't understand. It's all right now. And they said, you left sign a waiver. I said, where did I sign it at? If she hadn't put that finger in my face, I do believe I'd be in heaven tonight. I may hold that against her. I don't know. Father, thank you, Lord, for the liberty. Thank you for the things you brought to my mind tonight. Thank you for the blessing, Lord, to have my wife here tonight. Lord, for the men that come here tonight. And Lord, we just pray. And I don't know how the Word of God went tonight to the people that are here. But I pray, dear Father, Lord, that somebody got something tonight that they could go another mile. That they might be able to forbear and be able, Lord, to draw closer. Be able, Lord, to look and appreciate the benefit of the marriage. And I'll thank you for whatever you do. Ask your blessings on all that's said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Get Brother Melvin and Sister Margaret, if they would please, get some kind of song together there. I love you tonight. Try to tell you tonight some things that you probably won't hear nowhere else. See, Mike, I've got more than I know what to do with when it comes to topics like the one I preached about tonight. I don't know why all this happens to me, but I can look back in the archives and it just seems like I've got bountiful supply to draw from. Maybe tonight you can relate to something said tonight. Maybe you want to get your wife by the hand and say, hey, let's go down to the altar. Let's just tell the Lord we're thankful to have each other. Maybe you want to sit there tonight and say, I'm tired of the devil having an advantage. Get your husband, get your wife by the hand and say, let's go down there and tell the Lord we're going to do better. Let me tell you something. The marriage is under attack. I can't describe all the ways, but it's under attack on TV. You ever back when they had Andy Griffin? That's what a marriage is supposed to be. Yeah. Back when they had Amos McCoy, back before they had, what's it? I can't think of what that guy is. Two men, whatever it is. I don't know. I mean, this junk on TV. They used to have wholesome programs on there. Remember Lassie? Anybody here old enough remember Lassie?
Amen.
Remember that? Loving brother, loving father, little boy, having a ball, had his dog. Let me tell you something. That's what marriage is supposed to be. If your marriage is not like that tonight, and I don't know, if you're having problems, why not just get your wife, get your husband by the hand, Brother Eddie, pray with us. Come on up, I'll be glad to pray with you. Why fight it? Why not just admit it? Why not just come tonight?
Sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust Him in His Word, just to rest upon His promise, just to say the Lord.
You didn't come tonight? Come on! You might be the one to give others somebody ought to come tonight. I guarantee you this message needs to go put on these four walls. I guarantee there ought to be other people here tonight. I thank God for you that are here tonight. Somebody ought to come. I wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit tonight. My wife met me up here. I'd meet her down there. I thank God for my wife. In my opinion, she's Superman. She's the one who pretty much held our family together. How? I don't know, but she did. She got a ball man, arm skillet, every husband tried to hate it. Said, one way or another, I'm going to get your attention. She ain't going to continue like the girl in our family. She did, but I wish she had. At least I didn't see it. I got what I deserved. I didn't get what I deserved. I got what I did. And failure saves. Maybe someone else in here, brother. We may have a trouble. I want to be honest about it. Come on up here. Watch that door like an audible alone. Come on! Bring me some sticks of dynamite. Come on, make your way down here. Why not get the blessing? Why not get the blessing of God? You can have it. You want that blessing? Come down here and say, Brother Eddie, I want God's blessing on our marriage. I want my children to be blessed. You remember what happened to Gaza this morning? That leprosy didn't just affect him. It affected his children and his children's children. Why not get that blessing? Come on now. Come on, Sister Gayla. God bless you, honey. Come on with her, Donnie. Come on out. Be a man. Come on down. You do it. pray you bless her. I pray, Lord, you bless her. Lord, I pray you bless her in such a way the neighbors will take note. Lord, they'll notice, Father. They'll notice the difference. They'll come up and inquire and say, we just want to know what's changed. I pray, Lord, you bless them, Father. I don't need to know any details, Lord. You know everything. Lord, I'm so glad you're a reasonable God. I pray you bless Donnie. Pray you bless Gayla. Pray, Lord, for their family. Lord, for their friends. I pray for them, Lord. I thank you so much, Lord. What a blessing, Lord, to see someone obedient tonight. Lord, I pray, Father. All that's in me, Lord, I pray for my sister tonight and for her husband tonight. I pray, Lord, they'd have a marriage on heaven. Lord, have a marriage, Lord, made of heaven here on earth, Father. I pray, Lord, dear God, the devil will not be able to withstand, not be able, Lord, to meddle. Lord, he'll have to go somewhere else because he knows he'd be wasting his time. Lord, bless him, I pray. Give him victory in this matter. I wish God had come, Lord, tonight. Being a man myself, I certainly understand how stubborn I was. Lord, I do have regret. I sure wish that came a whole lot sooner. Lord, I had a whole lot better home. And I come early. I pray for my whole life. I thank you, Father, you're gracious and good, long-suffering husband. Sure, I won't be over
there. Are you harsh in the blood of the Lamb? Are you harsh in the blood and the stone and the blood of the Lamb?
Tonight, I'm not cheating on me, friend. I ain't said a thing tonight that I haven't had to endure myself. That most illustration I used tonight, I had plenty to do with, because I've been guilty of everything I preached about tonight. But maybe somebody tonight got a word on your heart, and I suppose there should be tonight, because I went home with us tonight in the message. I'll give an opportunity if you got something you want to say.
Your wife's better to you than I was, Marvin. We went to church one night before I went off the table at that. But anyway,
She encouraged me. I know we'll forget that ride home. That ride home, I was more proud of her than I've ever been in my life. You know why? She was on my side.
Yes.
I may not have done right. I don't know that I did. But I'll tell you what, she made me feel like I did. I appreciate it. She very much encouraged me.
They used to say amen there. They used to feel spiritual.
Yeah, Rick said they used to shout the roof off. I don't know what happened.
What are you talking about here? You know,
oh, over there, yeah.
United Brethren, Brethren.
Yeah.
United Brethren, that used to be.
Methodist.
Yeah, United Methodist. Yeah. But I tell you what, they used to have some Bible there, and they get amen, and they're spiritual, and they get you out of it, you know.
I couldn't believe my neighbor slid all the way down to the bench down there and acted like he didn't even know me. I still remember that.
You know, there is.
Well, I like free. Go ahead.
There is some churches that if women speak up, they will come and tell you to be quiet or leave.
Yeah. I'd be careful about that.
Yes.
The Bible said in Christ Jesus, there's neither male nor female. Mm-hmm. What that means is we're in Him, He's in us. She's just as much part of the body of Christ as I am. I might not be nothing but a little finger. She might be, you know, she might be the eyes of the mouth. I don't know, something, you know, real important. I may not be much, but I'm part of the body of Christ. I don't know where your place is. I don't even know where my place is. I just know I'm part of the body of Christ. We all are. Thanks to Calvary, we got in. We're part of the body of Christ. He bought us with His blood. We've been purchased. I've got to shut up because I want to give y'all a chance to talk, so I'm going to shut up. Anybody else got anything on your heart? If not, we're going to hit the door. Thank you for coming. I love you. Like I said, if it got personal with you tonight, I didn't mean it that way. I'm just trying to preach the truth tonight. And like I said, I know I went home with us. I went to your home. I went to my home. No doubt when you go home, you'll probably have thoughts about what you've heard tonight. But the benefit of the marriage is, it's got God's blessing on it.
Appreciate the message and appreciate what a failure tonight. God's presence in our midst, wouldn't
it? Amen.
And good service. Thank the Lord for it. I like that one part real good there. Where it says, well, go be your husband.
Yeah. We're still working on that.
That's in the Lord, though, because, you know, they get to be in
the Lord. Yeah, it does say in the Lord. Obey your husband's in the Lord. She's always telling me, she said, you're not in the Lord right here, and I ain't about to obey you. And I can't argue that.
Love your wife.
Yeah, love your wife about Christ, love the church. That's an unconditional love. That means no matter what, love them.
That's what I did. He died for the church.
True. I'm willing to die for my wife. Matter of fact, there was a man this week that got killed trying to be a shield to his family. His wife got shot twice. He got killed. Two of his children got shot, but you know what that man did? He stood between them and the gunmen. I'm willing to do that. I am. Be glad to do that. As a matter of fact,
Brad, I ain't running election for election.
Yeah. I have to admit, he better not just shoot more at once because I'm coming for him. Because I will fight for my family.
And when they're talking like that.
Yeah, I won't sit there like a pessimist and say, don't hurt him. He'll be looking for somewhere to get away because I will have a hold of him somehow. My wife knows, many of them know that to be true, don't you, honey? I ain't never backed down too much. Yeah.
They had a bank robbery in Columbia last week, or week before last. And they had this big write-up in the paper where this woman, well, he had the man in there, and then they called the woman in, and she had to go get money.
Yeah.
And he was holding a gun on the man. And for her to go get money, and she started praying for him. She put her hands on him and prayed for him. And he sat there while she prayed.
Yeah. I don't know how many men's had been like she's talking about. How many scared death of women have prayed? Man, some guy went in the house to rob a house, and man, this woman come out, and she said, Acts 2:38, and he thought of his hands, said, call the police, I don't want to die. The police got there and said, what's wrong with you? She said she had an Acts 2:38, I was scared death of her. That's a joke. I'm an old joke. Anyway, I'll tell you what. I've seen some women have more backbone than men. My wife, every now and then, she's got more backbone than I do about some matters. I ain't never had a surgeon. She's had enough to prove that. She's had enough for both of us. Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight? If you need to come, listen, I'll stay. Everybody else can leave. Me and you'll stay. If you need to come,
This is kind of a different subject, but after you all left over there today, everybody disappeared except me and Sarah.
Yeah.
And we had the best talk. She asked me all kinds of questions.
Oh, that's good.
She said, "Do you feel comfortable talking about Mike?" And I said, "Yeah, what do you want to know?" And she just asked one question after another.
Wonderful.
And I thought, well, maybe this is what's been the problem all this time. Maybe she, you know, because she was 13 years old when Mike got killed.
That's good.
You know, and she talked and she talked. And then she hugged me and then she cried and then she talked some more.
That's good.
So I'm talking for her because Sarah's made a big change.
Yeah.
She's a lot different than she was this time last year.
I got to talk to her a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was so odd how everybody disappeared.
Yeah.
One time. And Sarah stayed. And she's, well, no, she had left when I come.
They'd gotten the food while me and Brooke Levin was there.
Well,
so we left. They said, "I was going to stay now," and they all left.
Everybody was gone. And I couldn't believe she stayed because she's always the first one to leave.
Hmm.
But then she came in there and she said, "Do you feel comfortable talking to me about Mike?"
Well, that's good.
Yes, I do. What do you want? You know.
Yeah, that's good. That's where it pays off right there. Got an opportunity, though. You've been wanting that for a long time, Dr. Hurry. That's good. Are we done tonight? Let's everybody stand. Thank you for coming. Love you tonight. Like I said, don't take what I said personal, but do take what I said seriously.